Your Locked On Canadiens, your daily podcast on the Montreal Canadiens. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to episode 445 of Locked On Canadiens. Today's episode is brought to you by our sister show, Locked On NHL, where they've been counting down the top 50 NHL players that we all voted on as hosts. So make sure you're subscribed to Locked On NHL wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. They're on YouTube as well, so that you can find out how we voted and then come back and yell at us on Twitter. And if you want to do that, you'll find us. My name is Laura Saba, also known as The Active Stick, and I'm joined, as always, by my wonderful co-host, Scott Matlaw. I have to warn you, though, we both have our quality filters on, so if you want to yell at us about the way that we voted in the top 50 NHL players, we might not even see it. Anyway, we're here to talk about the Canadiens, and I just want to say that I'm very glad that we no longer have to talk about the Kotkaniemi offer sheet, but I do want to mention to check out our last episode with Sarah Sivian, who came by. She is, of course, if you have been living under a rock and do not know, she covers the Carolina Hurricanes for The Athletic, and we talked to her about the Carolina side, about why they would extend the offer sheet and what, you know, what their plans for him will be. And it was a really interesting conversation and it was super fun. And I'm so glad that she stopped by, but the Kotkaniemi chapter of the Montreal Canadiens is now over. Our long national nightmare is now over. It wasn't that big a deal. It was fun to have things to talk about for a while. But we're glad that we don't have to, you know, parse every detail of that offer sheet, and we have a new player to look forward to, and we're going to get some inside information on him in the coming weeks. In the meantime, Scott, how are you, and are you ready for our mailbag today?
I mean, I'm always ready for the mailbag because it's by far the most fun episode we do each week. Otherwise, I am preparing for the Bills home opener on Sunday. I work 10 minutes from the stadium, and to say the place has been a madhouse as we prepare for that is, I think, underselling it a little bit. There are already RVs that we're parking in our parking lot to come in and stock up on beer and food for the next 3 days. And I wish I was kidding, and I am not.
That's the thing. I just realized it is your first Bill season in Buffalo, and I'm very excited for all of the stories that you will have about Bill's Mafia, super serious group of fans. Well, not super. They're not serious. They're a fun group of fans. They're very entertaining, but they do take their football and breaking tables very, very seriously. Speaking of taking things seriously, Scott, do we have Habs questions in the mailbag this week? I think they're all Habs questions.
They are tied in some way. And I'm just going to start right from the top from the ones Laura sent me. And it's kind of timely compared to me talking about football season starting here. Who is the NFL version of Montreal? This is from Randy Hansen. He says the New York Giants, I don't know what that middle word is there. Unfortunately, traditional, risk averse, red, white, and blue colors, the New York football Giants. I think the Canadians might be the Bears because they're older than dirt. They had a bunch of championships in the past, including one in 1986, and they haven't quite got back to that point yet. They've finished more close to the bottom than they have at the top as of recently. And that just kind of melds together. But and as a Packers fan, that scars me for life to compare the Canadians to the Bears, unfortunately.
I'm just really glad, Scott, that you didn't say that the Montreal Canadiens were the New England Patriots of the NHL. That's all I'm glad about.
They have to win things to be the Patriots of the NHL right now. Like, unfortunately, that's the truth.
Well, you know, a lot of people are like, well, red, white, and blue, and they won a lot. But as you said, you have to be winning now.
Yeah, and they haven't done that, unfortunately. The next one comes from Jay Foster. If you could swap one Habs beat reporter for any other team's beat reporter, who would you trade and why?
Well, the thing is, like, in this question, I would have to pick a Habs beat reporter that I do not want in this city. And I just have to say, as somebody who has met and spent time with a whole bunch of them, I do not feel comfortable choosing someone unless it's somebody. I don't think there's anybody left on the Habs beat that's like this. You'll get the occasional column in the Journal de Montréal or whatever with some sort of xenophobic bent in it. And then there's some columnists on the Gazette that a lot of Habs fans think might be making too much out of things, and they're being more clickbaity and throwing out opinions that don't really have anything to do with what's going on in reality. But those people are columnists, and I will not name them because I do not want to give them the attention, but everybody knows the person that I'm talking about. But that's not a beat reporter, so I don't know. I like the Habs beat reporters, actually. I do. But if I could add one from another market, I do know that she's not technically a beat reporter, but she did cover them like one for a while, but Alison Lucan. I would love to have Alison Lucan in Montreal. I love the way that she really dedicates herself to learning everything about the players, the style, the system, analytics, you know, the eye test, everything like that. She approaches things from an extremely holistic angle to understand everything. She'll talk to the player, she'll talk to the coach. I love how thorough she is. I just like her as a person. It would be nice to talk to her about the Habs. And, you know, and it's no offense to any other beat reporters. You know, I could have easily gone Sarah Sivian, because then we could, after all the games, hang out and have a really good time. And she's an extremely entertaining and a very kind person with her time. She's very generous with her time. So I do say, you know, any beat reporter out there, there's some really good ones. There's some really, really fantastic ones. But I will pick Allison, and I know it's favoritism, and that's how it's going to go. I'm sorry.
Well, that's exactly who I was going to pick too. Anyways, Allison's the absolute best. She manages to break things down in a way that is detailed and so in depth, but also is so easy to understand. And we've had her on the show so many times, and we hope to have her on so many more times in the future. If you're not following Allison on Twitter, you're doing it wrong. She remains just one of the absolute best people. And to have her covering the Canadians would be it'd be a treat, to be honest. Not that the Canadians coverage is bad right now. It's great, and very lucky to have a lot of good writers in this market. But Allison is by far just one of the best, even if it's a former beat around the NHL. And we would be lucky to have her covering the Habs, honestly.
Absolutely. And I think it's very fitting that Jay asked the question, because we would be poaching one of Jay's favorite reporters, I think.
Hopefully everyone's favorite reporter. Like, come on. She's awesome. We have a question from Jared Ellis of Locked On Hurricanes. Will Eric Staal retire or return for another season? And if he plays, who is he playing for?
Well, I think if he comes back, he's definitely going to stay in the United States, because he talked a lot about how lonely he was being away from his family because of the COVID season, during the COVID season. So I do think that he's going to want to be close to home. I know they live in Minnesota, and Minnesota is the team that traded him, and he was very shocked by that. And it seems like the way the direction Minnesota is going, they probably wouldn't extend an offer. So I do think it's possible that he will come back. I think he, you know, the way that he talked about it, he said he had a lot of thinking to do, but I definitely think that it would be somewhere where his family could go with him, or would be very accessible for him to travel to them, because even when he was living in Buffalo, he wasn't able to see them. And then he came to Canada, and they weren't able to see each other because of the COVID border closures. So I really do think that if he does come back, it's going to be for a US market that is easily accessible to Minnesota.
I don't think he's coming back to Montreal. Let's just get that one out of the way. Carolina just offer sheeted a $6 million center. So it's not going to be Carolina. I wouldn't be shocked to see a team like a Nashville or even Seattle, because Ron Francis is in Seattle and he obviously has a long history with Eric Staal. I wouldn't be shocked to see him pop up there. One of those guys who signs just before training camp for like league minimum kind of money, kind of like he was in Montreal there, just to bring a veteran presence, you know, and just get through that. And then if he retires, he retires, that kind of thing. I guess we'll wait and see, but I'm sure, like Corey Perry last year for the Habs, that Eric Staal is going to be one of those guys who's coming in right before training camp. And there's honestly worse options to have than him, especially if you're the Seattle Kraken right now.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really good, it's a really good bet, Seattle, if he does come back. And so we've got a ton more questions about the Habs and hockey in general, and that's coming up in just a moment. But as we said, football season is starting. It actually started as we were recording this show, and it's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor contest open now at Bet Online. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's right. If you sign up today, deposit $200, let's say, you will get a $200 bonus to play with. So don't forget, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And remember, if you want to take advantage of that 100% welcome bonus, make sure you enter promo code LOCKEDON. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. So what else have we got in the mailbag this week? I'm so excited. We've got so many Habs questions, and I love our listeners.
This one comes from at a Pentiums. Okay, real talk. Why will the Habs make the playoffs this year? Also, why will they not?
I think I'm going to answer the not first because it's easier. They are in a very tough division with their captain missing, one of their most important defensemen who plays a lot of minutes, and that's a big deal. You know, David Savard came in, and God bless him, God love him, he's going to eat up a lot of minutes and be a really steady presence, but the absence of Shea Weber is going to be felt. They also don't really have that much center depth right now, even with Christian Dvorak, but that brings me to why they could make the playoffs. So even though they're in a tough division, there's an opportunity now for younger players like Matthias Norlander, for Ryan Poehling to make the team. There's an opportunity for a player like Cole Caulfield to solidify his position as one of the top rookies in the league. There's an opportunity for Nick Suzuki to take his game to the next level because he's going to be very tested this year. And he's, while he has so much potential and promise, and he's a magnificent player right now, there have been a lot of questions as to whether he can be the first line center and carry this team going forward. So this is a really big opportunity for him to do that. I think Jake Evans, as we talked about a lot, he's going to impress us all because of the way that he plays. And he's really, we haven't had a bad thing to say about Jake Evans, you know, since he made this team, since he made the team, he's really impressed everybody. You know, there'll be less exposure to that coward Mark Scheifele. Also Alexander Romanov, you know, he's got a lot of exuberance and enthusiasm, and he's going to be playing his second year, and we expect him to take a big step up. Jeff Petrie is still going to be here. He and that Joel Edmondson pairing were really good. Brett Kulak, even though he sometimes feels like an afterthought, I really do think that he can do what he's always been doing. The other thing too is that Carey Price and And Jake Allen will be splitting time in net, and that worked out really well in a shortened season. So in a longer season, I think that's also going to work out well. And I think those are all my reasons. You know, I feel like it's entirely possible that all of these younger players really showing up, making the team, first of all, and really, really not achieving their potential because they're still really young, but taking the step and making that jump and really, you know, improving their play to a point where I think that it's possible that the Canadians can sneak into the playoffs.
For me, I think they make it because they finally figured out some of their power play help that they needed. They're getting a guy like Christian Dvorak, a Mike Hoffman, getting an entire season of Cole Caulfield now. Like, those are all big things. And David Savard's a nice addition to the defense in that Carey Price and Jake Allen are back. They didn't lose either of them. Jonathan Drouin looks to be back and looks to be ready and raring to go this season, which is huge for a team that needs a dynamic playmaker like he can be there. But for the reasons they're not going to make it, they lost Shea Weber for this year and potentially more. They lost Philip Deneau. Dvorak's a nice replacement, but he doesn't replace everything there. Kotkaniemi is gone now. So your center depth now is Suzuki, Dvorak, and then question marks. And not that Kotkaniemi was truly established in that role, but they need someone to step up now. Is that going to be Ryan Poehling? Is that going to be a Lucas Vedemo? Is Jake Evans going to take another big step forward, which, you know, we would love that. There's just a lot of question marks, and it's a very tough division. Teams like Florida got really good. Tampa's still really good. Boston's still going to be good. Like, the Canadians are up against it in a tough division here, and they're going to need strong showings from these guys. And it feels like they didn't fully replace everything that needed to be done, at least quite yet anyways. Our next question comes from Kevin Rogers. Are the Rocket expected to have a full season this year starting in the fall? I have not heard anything about the AHL's plan for the coming season. Laura, I assume you just want me to answer this one right away then.
Yes, please.
So as far as I understand, they are expecting an entire regular season this year. They released the full schedule for October, starting in October. Obviously, the NHL is taking forefront on that, but you can, in fact, expect a regular AHL season this year, especially from the Rocket, who also have had an absolute mountain of turnover. I know we've talked a lot about the Canadians and the draft and all the horrible things they did there and everything else going on and the roster turnover. The AHL team has an entirely new look right down to the coaching staff. So there is going to be an entire regular season, COVID permitting, of course, which is the unfortunate circumstance.
Yes. And on that schedule, there is an AHL All-Star game that is set to take place in Laval. Let's not forget that.
Yes. And believe Laura and myself when we say I've been to one. An AHL All-Star game. It's a ton of fun. Plaspel is absolutely fantastic. It's better than some NHL arenas. If you have the ability to go, highly recommend it. It's always a fun time. The players make time for the fans. It's always fun watching the contest and everything else. So well worth the trip up to a Montreal and even outside the city, actually. So we got time for one more question, Laura.
In this segment, we do, yes.
Who is from Jeffers 84, predicted top goal scorer and predicted top point producer?
See, I feel like every time we get asked this, we say a different thing. So, like, go back and listen to the older episodes, but don't yell at us about them. I did say I thought that Cole Caulfield was going to score the most goals, and I'm going to stick by that, even though, Scott, last time you made a very compelling argument for Mike Hoffman.
I do think Mike Hoffman is still going to be my top goal scoring pick. I don't think Caulfield will be far behind him, but I do think he is going to be the top goal scorer just based on his power play prowess alone. And if the Canadians have that even remotely sorted out, Mike Hoffman is going to score a pantaloons load of goals. Then again, so will Cole Caulfield. So maybe I'll be wrong. I don't know. Top point producer, anyone not picking Nick Suzuki, I think is underestimating how good he's been for the Canadians.
I'm going to say Nick Suzuki too. And I know that's going to reek of favoritism, but that is also my pick. I also think a dark horse for top point getter could be Jonathan Drouin. Don't yell at me, listeners. I'm just saying it could be. Maybe you'll get the second most amount of points behind Nick Suzuki, but it's definitely Nick Suzuki. This is Nick Suzuki's team now, I think.
Yes, Drouin is a good shout, though. I do think that if he's back and plays like he did before he got hurt 2 years ago, we're laughing to the bank, because it's like getting an entirely new player. And he's so, so good when he's on his game. It'll be interesting to see how he fits into this Canadiens offense now.
Absolutely. And I'm actually excited for next season. I know there are a lot of, you know, it's a big letdown after they reach the final. There's sort of like a denouement, if you will. And then after all the stuff that happened this off season, it might be tough to get excited, but I'm actually excited because all these players were talking about, you know, Nick Suzuki taking the jump, anybody who might make the team out of Laval. I think it's a very exciting season, but you know, what isn't exciting is if you have car problems and then you overpay for parts or accessories. Don't overpay. Go to rockauto.com. where the prices are always reliably low. Don't go to a chain store where the stock is limited and you get charged possibly up to twice as much because you're a regular person and not a professional mechanic. RockAuto.com charges everybody the same low prices. And not only are the prices reliably low, when you go to RockAuto.com, you can put in your car's make, model, and year, whether it's a classic or you bought it yesterday, and you will find all the parts and accessories available for every make and model on there. There's an easy-to-use catalog. It's really a no-brainer because after you find this piece and you pay a reliably low price, it will get delivered directly to your door. It's super convenient, right in your pocket, right there. You'll find whatever you need. So go to rockauto.com and do not forget to put Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they'll know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com. Anybody who's been listening to this show for any length of time will know that one of our sponsors is Built Bar, and we absolutely love Built Bar. It is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. In fact, I had a conversation with my mother today as she's been visiting me, and she's noted, she says, Laura, you forget to eat a lot of the time when you're working. And I said, actually, you know what, you're not noticing, but I am having a Built Bar and I don't feel hungry. I feel satiated. I feel like I have the energy for my day because I have Built Bars. I'll sneak them out of the fridge over the summer. I like them right out of the fridge, and they're soft. They're easy to chew. They taste like a candy bar. They've got 18 delicious flavors. They're low in calorie, low in sugar, and they're made with real chocolate. And most importantly, they are high in protein. They're a lifesaver, as I said, you know, like they keep me going all day long. And if you want to try Built Bar, you can go to built.com and enter promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. If you're anything like me, you might need them in your life. So go ahead, go to built.com. LOCKED15 is your promo code for 15% off your order. And now we're on the final part of our mailbag, where I tried to send you some of the more diverse questions, I guess, Scott, so that we could talk about them in our final segment.
Our first one comes from the Hockey Boomer. Will you pretty please give Anaheim Cole Caulfield?
No, even though you asked nicely, nope, absolutely not.
My offer still stands at, if we're giving you Cole Caulfield, give me Trevor Zegras. That's the only way this works out. We have too many wingers and he's a center. So like, fair is fair, which I think would just infuriate everyone who wants to see them play together again. So it's definitely the best option.
Yeah.
From Jeremy McAllister, how many goals does Mike Hoffman get? Who will lead the team in penalty minutes? And for the host question, you get one superpower for 1 hour. What is it and what do you do?
Mike Hoffman, I'm going to say 32 goals.
I'm going to say 29.
Penalty minutes, definitely. Oh, this is tough. Josh Anderson, maybe.
Ben Sherratt.
Oh, I forgot about Ben Sherratt.
2 minutes for being way too handsome for a man who lumbers around like an ogre on the ice.
Yeah, like his face doesn't match his personality, doesn't.
Ben, if you're listening to this, I love you and I think you're the best. Please don't eat me because you are a large human being and I'm terrified of you.
Large, very attractive human being. As for superpower, I know this sounds like it's, you know, it's the first thing you would say as a kid. It pops into your head. It's the first thing that popped into my head. But I thought about it after a while. And my answer is still, I would like to fly.
I want to say transformation, like if that I can transform into anything just to like mess with people. Be like, yeah, I'm going to go sit on my front porch. What? I'm a bear now. Sucks to be you. Like, and just mess with people for an hour. Because I think the power, that would be a ton of fun, to be quite honest. Flight's always a good one, though. Even if it's just for an hour, flight would be a ton of fun. Like going to see like your city from the sky, like I think would be crazy fun.
There was like a spider. I don't know if it was in the first Spider-Man or the second Spider-Man, like the Tom Holland version, obviously from the MCU. The one where like he's flying around. I'm not spoiling anything. Like at some point, like he's got MJ on his arm. And they fly around. And I was like, that looks like so cool. So yeah, anyway, that's my reasoning is like, you just like just bouncing around, flying around and seeing the city and at very high speeds, I think would be really cool for an hour. And then I'd land and never think about it again.
This one comes from Cole. Since Laura avoided my question last Friday, Stanley Cup final, game 7, 2 seconds left in the game. Blank got tripped and has to take a penalty shot. Who do you want it to be? Shea Weber, David Savard, Eric Staal, or Nick Suzuki with one arm?
Oh, wow. This is tough because Nick Suzuki with one arm is probably a better shot than today Eric Staal. Today Eric Staal, right? Like not like in his life Eric Staal, earlier in his career Eric Staal. But Shea Weber has that one shot. I think Nick Suzuki's smarts have it. I think that's it.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm picking Eric Staal. If only because Eric Staal's got that old veteran like craftiness that allows him to be so good in things like the shootout potentially that he can just outweigh people. Like we saw with Corey Perry last year in the shootout. Corey Perry is a billion years old. And still really good at doing stuff like that. And I think my thought is that Eric Staal would be the same way. My second choice was Shea Weber because I would just like to see Weber just kind of like poke the puck forward and then just kind of step in and clap it. Like what goalie is going to want to get in the way of 106 mile an hour slap shot in the shootout? Like no one, absolutely no one, to be honest. So I am picking Eric Staal. Despite the fact he is not a Canadian anymore, or at least not right now anyways.
Well, Cole asked the question. So, you know, it was one of the options. And yeah. I still think Nick Suzuki with one arm. I know, again, it's favoritism.
We have another one from Cole. In a very realistic world, what record are you expecting through 20 games? He says 12-6-2.
I like it. 12-6-2 is good. I'm going to say it's the Montreal Canadiens. So I will say 14-3-3 because they're going to come out of the gate winning a lot of games. And then as always in November, we're going to be like, what just happened? So the first 20 games, definitely 14-3-3, even like realistic or not, like this is something the Canadiens do. They'll come out of the gate really good. And then they'll lose steam and then everybody will be like, you know, the Canadiens were a paper tiger. They were a fraud this whole time. Like they were lucky. And then, you know, yeah, I think that's my answer. What about you?
I'm going to go 11-5-4. I don't think their overtime woes are going to be solved quite so quickly yet, especially with their defensive lineup right now. I think they'll be competitive, but I still think they're going to miss that that game-breaking edge. They don't have a Matthews right now. I mean, they do have good pieces, but they're missing a McDavid, a Matthews kind of thing that some teams have and can just throw out on the ice and just end things quickly. I think if they're above 500 after 20 games, they're trending in the right direction because this is a lot of new players on the team. Coach getting his own system rolled in there. And they're missing key pieces. So it's going to be a lot of adaptation for that. So I think being above 500 is what they're aiming for right now anyways. From Nicolas Tremblay, will the Canadiens make one last move before the start of the season? And if so, at what position will it be?
I think they're going to go get Tyler Bozak at a low contract. He's still an unrestricted free agent as of the time of this recording. Mark Bergevin said he was done with all his moves, but for whatever reason, like Tyler Bozak at a very good value contract, at a really economic contract, seems like something Mark Bergevin would do.
I agree with that. I think they're going to bring in some guys on a PTO, especially for the preseason. One of their guys from the AHL team is getting called up to the main camp, Charles David Baudouin, which everyone's like, wow, that's great. I'm like, they need bodies for the preseason. And we might see a Thomas Fleischmann situation where they play well enough and they get inked to a deal. And I think Tyler Bozak is, whether he's still any good or not, I don't actually know, is definitely a prime candidate for that, I think. And the Canadians will definitely want some kind of veteran presence there and have Evans Paling battle it out for another spot and maybe ink someone to, like you said, a cheap kind of last minute deal to play center on it's somewhere in the bottom six there. And one final question from TDavy147. Imagine this. You're at a bar doing karaoke and you're told you have to perform a duet. You look out into the crowd and only see Habs players. Who do you pick to perform the song with and what song is it?
See, I like this question because there are so many options and there are options that I wouldn't normally pick if it wasn't the Montreal Canadiens, right? Like, I don't know what your go-to karaoke song is, Scott. I don't have one because I'm actually, surprisingly, this surprises a lot of people, especially since I take singing lessons. I'm very shy with karaoke. You have to get me a specific level of drunk. And usually it'll be an ABBA song or Queen song. Like, those are my favorites. But, you know, if you've got that, your Habs players, we all saw what Brendan Gallagher did with the acting in the, like he was recreating some famous TV scenes, especially with it's the Backstreet Boys intro to
the Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
He did that. So I feel like it would be really good to have somebody animated acting out while you're doing a duet with them. That would be really fun. Or even just a song, like just literally that song, like the Backstreet Boys song itself. But I also thought about it and I was like, what if you call up Carey Price and you sing Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy, and he like lassos people in the audience? Or at the bar. So the audience, like, this isn't a show, it's karaoke. It's at the bar. He starts lassoing people. I think that'd be cool.
It's funny is that I actually have never done karaoke in my life. Despite being a very outward going person, I do not ever want to do karaoke. It is not anything like you. I better be absolutely, I'm not saying this is the level of drunk you have yet, but I better not remember it kind of thing. But Brendan Gallagher was the first person I thought of. And I'm glad that you also mentioned the TikTok from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, because I'm imagining singing Funky Cold Medina with Brendan Gallagher. So that is my pick for this right now.
I love it. And I do think that it's going to be a while before I feel brave enough to go to karaoke with COVID and everything. And, you know, that's a very specific, very risky activity for COVID. In fact, last year, I think it was 18 people or something went to karaoke at a Quebec City bar, and then 142 people got COVID. And essentially, it was the start of the second wave in Montreal. It was the end of the summer last year. Not in Montreal, sorry, in Quebec. So it's going to be a while, but those are my answers. And I think that's it for questions, isn't it, Scott?
Yeah, that was everything in our mailbag for this week.
And we want to thank you guys once again for sending mailbag questions. If you'd like to do so, you can send them to lockedoncanadiens@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and tweet us at @LO_Canadiens. If you want to follow Scott on Twitter, he's @ScottMatla. If you want to follow me, I am @TheActiveStick. Please subscribe, follow, like this podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and tell your friends about it if you like us. In the meantime, also please check out Locked On Bets, where you will find out where to bet your money, because they have the best advice. And as much as it pains me to say so, they were right about every time they predicted the Canadians would win or lose in the Stanley Cup finals, and that didn't turn out all that great. But you know what? Locked On Bets was right. So check them out wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.